Turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 95. That's where we're going to start. Keep your Bibles open. We've got to look at a few scriptures tonight to be able to understand the topic that we are preaching on tonight. Psalm 95. We've prayed. We're going to pray again. We're just going to ask the Lord to really help us tonight. Father, we do bow before you now, and our sincere desire is that you'll fill us all with your Holy Spirit so that we can hear from you. These are your words. You've chose to use men to preach them. I pray you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit so that what you once said about these words tonight can be said, what you once said and the way you want it said, and for all of us to be filled with your Holy Spirit so we can receive it and then live by it. Our lives, Father, change with the preaching of the Word of God as we yield to what you're showing us. Help us tonight to do just that so you can be pleased for Jesus' sake. Amen. The title of this sermon tonight is Thanksgiving is the Key. Thanksgiving is the Key. Look in Psalm 95, verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. We just did that. Amen. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Notice in verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You see that? Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, you're going to find similar wording in verses 3 and 4. Look in Psalm 100, verse 3 and 4. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates, how? With thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Thanksgiving, first of all, is the key to entering the presence of God. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He's here. Now, some of us tonight are more aware of his presence among us than others. Some of us are more aware of, each other. Perhaps our own comfort or discomfort. Perhaps we're more aware of the temperature outside, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to have for supper if we haven't eaten already, or any of the other numbers of things that have crossed the minds of people sitting in pews in a church service on Sunday night. But right now you're in the presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you leave here, you'll still be in the presence of the Lord because he said that when you get saved, I ain't going to dwell in you and you in me. And you're together. But there's a lot of time when we as Christians are doing something and we're not really aware that we're in the presence of God. Or even still, we'll come to a song service like tonight. Or you talk to God in your heart when you're praying, perhaps when you're driving or doing your devotions. And you sort of get the idea that you're down here and he's up there. I mean, we even approach him sometimes and say, our Heavenly Father, in prayer. As if we're way down here and he's way up there. The truth is that when you got saved, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6, you're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If he's your heavenly Father, and he is, then you're right there next to him in Christ Jesus, right? You're in his presence, but you don't sense it sometimes. You know what Thanksgiving does? Thanksgiving removes the feeling of distance between you and God. That's what it does. It brings you into the presence of God. That's what he says. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. It brings you into the presence of God. He's looking forward to seeing you because you're coming with thanksgiving. And you are, in a sense, in his presence because you're thankful. You've raised children. We've raised children. And at some point, please and thank you are a fight, right? I remember when I was an exchange student in Mexico, I was 10 years old. I turned 11 and then off to Mexico City I went for several weeks. You can't imagine coming from a family of six and going to a family of seven that either family would be interested in an exchange student. But he came to live with us, and I came to live with them. Wow. And my mother drilled in me before I left. Now say please and thank you. Say please and thank you. So I got to Mexico, and I said, may I have a water, please and thank you? That's what she told me to say. But you know something I've noticed? People are always, always much more gracious with you when you are thankful. You notice that? And people are so much more willing to do things for you when you're thankful. And you are much more delighted in their company when they're thankful. God's the same way. We're His children. And when we are thankful, it's like there's no distance between us and God. It closes that feeling of a gap. And you know, you know how we are. Many, many of us in this room are very much the same. You go through some sort of prayer in your morning devotion, and you'll say, you know, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And you get hung right there, and you got a list of all the wicked things that are in you. Not that we would point those out, but you just know that you're in the presence of God, and He's so righteous, and we're not, and you hardly get to the last part, which is, and lead me in the way everlasting. We just kind of get hung on down on ourselves. But you know what that has a tendency to do? It has a tendency to destroy that communion that we have with God. So I would say to you, get through that part of your prayer quick. If there is something going on that is putting some barrier between you and God, ask Him to reveal to you what it is. Confess it, get it washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and get close to the Lord. Because there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord, and what draws you into His presence is not getting down on yourself about how you're not worthy, but lifting Him up and how thankful you are for His goodness and His grace. Great. That's what does it. When you start acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, which is what Paul told Philemon to do in verse 6, you start thanking Him for His goodness to you, and you find yourself in His presence. It lifts your heart and lifts Him up and brings you into something that is above all the muck and mire of the world around you. You ever notice that? Just think of the times when you have just poured your heart out to God in thanksgiving. It's like He's right there with you where you are because He is, and it's like you're right there where He is because you are. It's like when you bow before Him to praise Him, you're right there at His throne. And thanksgiving is the key. You know, what happens is thanksgiving has a tendency to affect our attitude, and it takes sometimes people that are a little bit sour and then takes us and makes us joyful because we have so much to appreciate. You know, and honestly, this is that time of Thanksgiving where we eat turkey and maybe thank God over the meal before we eat it. But, you know, if we were to go around the room and start asking you, just everybody name one thing that God has done for which you're thankful, came all the way around the room and start back over again because that gives you time to think of something else. You know, we'd be here long past Christmas if we stayed up all day and all night thanking God for all the things He's done for us. And it really lift your heart. So Thanksgiving, you see it in the Scripture. I didn't make it up. Is the key to you entering into the presence of God. So if tonight you came here and you have some feeling that there is something between you and God that has put a distance, and there really may be, some iniquity. I'm not saying that there's not. But if there's not that, you may find simply that it is you haven't been thankful lately, and that's the wedge. And if that's the case, start thanking God and you will close that gap. You'll be in His presence and He'll be in yours. Amen. All right. Now turn to Philippians chapter 4, another passage of Scripture with which you're very familiar. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Many of you can quote this verse. Haven't preached it in a while, but we preached it a lot for a period of time. The Bible says, be careful for only those things that you want to be careful about. I don't think that's what it said. What did it say? Be careful for how much? Nothing. All right, well then, you know, it all starts with that. People will come in and they'll say, preacher, I'm troubled. Okay, there's the problem. Okay, troubled about something. Well, we all live in the world where there are things that can trouble us. And that's why the Lord kept telling his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. So he says, be careful for nothing. All right, that's the beginning point. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, the next two words, what? With what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So thanksgiving is the key to entering the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the key to enjoying the peace of God. It's the key to entering the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the key to enjoying the peace of God. The peace of God is there. You have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God is there as a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. So it's there. But a lot of times, it's not effectual. A lot of times, the peace of God is not keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the reason is, there's care. And what helps to offset that care when we're praying and making supplication is what, according to the verse? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, you pray and you pour out your supplications to God, and yet you're stressed and anxious. It's like, I poured this all out to God and I still feel like I did before I started praying. I call that worrying out loud before God, because nothing changed. I mean, God hears your prayer, and in time, in his way, according to his counsel and wisdom, he's going to answer that prayer. But in the meantime, you don't know how long that's going to be, and you don't want to be in the same state of mind and anxiety that you were in when you started praying. But for one thing, it doesn't feel good. And for another thing, it magnifies the problem more than the Lord. You might, well, you don't remember, and I could preach it again right now to be all brand new to most of us. But one Wednesday, I was praying, and we were talking about something very similar to this point we're on right now. And I took a piece of paper, and I gave one to every person in the prayer meeting. And it said, problem. Whatever your problem is. Okay? And it was a piece of paper, and it was probably no more than an inch or an inch and a half high, and probably 3 or 4 inches long. Well, 8.5 by 11 cut in half, so 4 1/4 inches long. And so I passed it out. So everybody, because everybody's got problems, right? Okay, so then up here, we turned on the DVD, and up here, we had a great big screen. And I think maybe the word Jesus up there, or peace of God up here. And I said, okay, now take that piece of paper, which I don't have anything small enough up here. Well, something similar. Take that piece of paper, wherever you're sitting. Oh, you still got it. You still got it there. You stuck it in your Bible, yeah. It'll remind you, yeah. Well, there it is right there. Oop. Oh, confetti. There it is, problem right there. And if you take this thing, your problem, and you hold it right here before your eyes and look up there, you can't see. You can't see Jesus. What you see is this. But if you lay this thing and put it out there far away, all of a sudden he's big and this is little. And then I came all the way up here with somebody's problem and I stuck it right up here like that. And I said, look pretty small now, doesn't it? You know, that's what Thanksgiving does. Thanksgiving, when you're praying and you're supplicating, goes to work on that care and that anxiety. And the peace of God comes in there. And when the peace of God comes in there in that time, you know what happens? You can still wait on God to answer that prayer, but you're not running around biting your fingernails off like Alabama was doing last night in the last minute of the game. For those of you who watched it. You say, but I've been praying, preacher. I've been praying, you know, and I understand. But have you been thanking him as much as you've been praying when you've been praying? Well, I hadn't thought about that. That's what you need to do. Because what happens with Thanksgiving is the key to entering the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the key to enjoying the peace of God. The peace of God is there. It comes with the Spirit of God. It comes with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't get your hands on it. You don't appropriate it until you start thinking. And that's what the Bible says. You know, that's not counseling. That's scripture. You say, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. I've been praying about this thing, and it's really had me weighed down, and it's really put me in a funk for several weeks. Start thanking God. Start thanking God. And you'll see that peace come, and when that peace comes, you'll be able to wait as long as it takes God to answer that prayer. You'll be fine. Because you'll have His peace. Amen. So thanksgiving is the key to entering the presence of God. Thanksgiving is the key to enjoying the peace of God. Look at the next one, Psalm 26. Psalm 26. I don't know about you, but man, I'll tell you what. Sleep is a precious thing these days. Amen. I'm telling you, and when you lay your head down on your pillow and you're at peace, you sleep well. I will both lay me down in peace, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's a good thing. That's real close to Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. And nothing like a good, peaceful night's sleep. And if you got a lot of thanksgiving, you're going to do a little bit better sleeping, unless you've got a medical problem. Okay? All right, and then here in Psalm 26, look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. All right, there's another psalm very similar to this. Do you understand? So the psalmist in Psalm 26 wants people to know the wonderful works of God. This is David. And he says, I want you to know the wondrous works of God. And when I publish the wonderful works of God, I'm going to do it with the voice of thanksgiving. That is, I thank God for this and I thank God for that great thing that He's done in my life. Now turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And notice Psalm 107, verse 21. Psalm 107, verse 21. The Bible says, and this Psalm 107 is really good because in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Again, then in verse 21, again, then in verse 31, he keeps saying the same thing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, right? Okay, look in verse 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. May I ask you a question? Has God been good to you? Boy, He has, hadn't He? And for His wonderful works to the children of men. Has God done any wonderful works in your life? Yes, He has. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what? Thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. David said, when I speak of His wonderful works, I'm going to do it with the voice of thanksgiving. And here the psalmist says, if you're going to talk about His goodness and His wonderful works, do it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why is that? Why is thanksgiving a sacrifice? Because sometimes the wonderful work that God is doing in your life doesn't come with fun. Sometimes some of the wonderful things God... Listen, you look back in your life just like I do, some of the deepest valleys, right, were some of the greatest places of your development and growth in your relationship with the Lord God. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and He was there with you. And now you can look back on that and thank God, you know what? If it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be where I am today. What He wants us to be able to do is recognize His hand of wonderful works while we're in the valley and still be able to publish with the voice of thanksgiving the wonderful works He's doing. That's when it's a sacrifice. Paul and Silas were led by the Spirit to go into Philippi and preach. They preached. Paul cast that devil out of the out of that woman that had the spirit of divination, and they found themselves beat up and locked up in jail. And they're praising God. And they are doing it with the voice of thanksgiving. That was a sacrifice. But they didn't know. Nobody knew. There was coming an earthquake. The earthquake came. All the doors opened. And the jailer came in thinking for sure the men had escaped. They didn't. He was ready to kill himself if they had. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he said, "How do I get saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they led him to the Lord, and they led his house to the Lord. And Paul writes a letter to the Philippians. God got good work done there, but it involved these men spending some time bloody and beaten and locked up in jail. And they were able to praise the Lord and publish. With what? The voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is the key, not only to entering the presence of God and enjoying the peace of God, but thanksgiving is the key to exalting the power of God. To exalting the power of God. How can we be thankful when it seems as if things are turned against us? When we know the hand of the power of God in the midst of the thing, we can look up and say, God is good and He does all things well. God was very powerful in Egypt, but those poor Jews were suffering greatly under the bondage and rigor of Pharaoh. But man, I'm telling you, when they left that country with all that wealth and crossed the Red Sea, on dry ground, and it closed up and swallowed up all their enemies, let me tell you, they were shouting the praises of God. They were singing and dancing and carrying on with that. They could have been thankful before, knowing our God has shown up to get us out of here. Moses said, He's come to deliver you. So the key then to exalting the power of God is to be able to do it with the voice of thanksgiving. You know, many people today that you know don't even believe in God. I mean, you personally know some people, they may not have told you this, that just don't really believe in God. You personally know some people who may believe in God, but they've not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I was talking to a man just the other day, and as a matter of fact, we invited him to come to church, and he was like, and I said, "You're not coming." He's no, "I'm not coming." I said, "But I'll tell you," he said, "I do know this. I know there is a God." Okay, it's kind of like, well, what's the good of knowing that there is a God without knowing God? So we said, you know, we don't just know about God. We know Him personally, and we want you to know Him personally. But there are a lot of people that know there's a God, but they don't know Him. So sometimes you will hear people that don't know Him exalt the power of God. They'll say, "I'll tell you what, man, God really did something there." Because they recognize what happened is something that could not have happened if God hadn't done it. But they, you know what, when they do it, their words are kind of hollow. Their testimony is more the testimony of a spectator who has witnessed something while sitting up in the stands. It's like, "Man, you should have seen more. God really did something there." It's sort of like, okay, well, that's good, but, you know, it doesn't have that ring of personality. It doesn't have that ring of thanksgiving. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. When God does something in your life, and you know God did something in your life, and you can truly thank Him for His power that you have experienced firsthand, your testimony rings as true as a personal beneficiary of the work that He's done on your behalf. And that is a totally different testimony. Because you're able to say, "I want to thank God for something He's done in my life." And you know, David said in Psalm 26, "that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving." You're going to be around neighbors. You're going to be around coworkers. You're going to be around family in the next few weeks if you haven't already been. But just because. It's that time of year. You know, you're going to see some family members at Christmas or... You know, there's going to be a neighbor that might invite you over. You might invite a neighbor over. You know, the thing that we want to do, we want to remember is we want to be able to vocalize our thanksgiving in front of those who don't know God the same way we would if we were here among our friends on a Wednesday night saying, I want to praise God for something He's done in my life. But you know, what happens to us sometimes is we recognize, well, I'm not sure they believe in God the same way we do. So we have a tendency to sort of filter what we're going to say. Have you ever done that? You kind of minimize what we're going to say a little bit because it's kind of like, well, they don't really know Him. You know what we need to do? We just need to get over that and just praise God and thank God for His power in our lives. Because He's done something. I mentioned it this morning, but I was really thinking a lot about it yesterday as I was studying, praying, getting ready for today and stuff like that. I am, and I know you are too, but I happen to be the one talking. I stand amazed in the presence of God, like we sang in the song. I stand amazed at the transforming work of God Almighty in my life. When I mentioned to you this morning I was preaching, I am not the same man that I was, even back when God called me to preach. I'm telling you, the changes are there's no way, you can't go to some place and sit down with a therapist and go through whatever you go through with a therapist and come out on the other side with as much transformation as God has done in my life. And I can tell you, it's the hand of God. It would not have happened any other way but that God put His hand and said, I'm the potter, you're the clay, and I am going to fix this broken vessel. And He's not finished. But boy, I'll tell you what, I sure am pleased with the work He's done thus far. And I can thank Him for that. And so can you. And we're going to publish with the voice of thanksgiving the great power of God. When a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon comes to your door, you're not going to let them in. You're not even going to talk to them. But if you did, everything's hollow. It's all about somebody they don't even know. They have no firsthand knowledge of any powerful thing God has done in their life. They can tell you a lot about what they're doing for God. They can't tell you anything about what God's done for them. You can. Not the least of which, He saved your soul. And that you may have cooled off on that a little bit. That's the biggest, I'm telling you, that's the biggest thing that will ever happen to you in your life. He took you from being a child of the devil and made you a child of God. And you should never get over that. Ever. There's a lot to be thankful for that. So that great work of God with the voice of thanksgiving, we are exalting the power of God with thanksgiving. All right, there's another one. Look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69. So, thanksgiving is the key to entering the presence of God, enjoying the peace of God, exalting the power of God. Kind of amazing. All these are ease and peace. Easy peasy. Well, that was dumb. Psalm 69, look at verse 30. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. So back in the Old Testament, guys were offering sacrifices in order to praise God. And God said, I'll tell you what will praise me more. David said this. I'll tell you what will be better than that. And that would be praising the name of God with a song and magnifying Him with thanksgiving. Look at Psalm 147. You'll see another verse very similar. Psalm 147, verse 7. Thanksgiving is the key. Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key to expressing the praise of God. The key to expressing the praise of God. You know, sometimes when we come in here on an evening like today or Sunday morning, maybe it's Sunday school, maybe on a Wednesday night, it is very easy for us to pick up this little red hymn book here, open up to whatever song is going to be sung, and sing the verses of the song and never really think about what we're singing. We've all done it. We've all done it. Our heart's not in it. Our mind's not in it. We brought something with us that's kind of occupying that space. Maybe we're getting ready to go do something that's got our mind. But our praises can be very, when our praises are like that, they're very hollow. Our minds are distracted. Our words come from cold hearts. We've done it. And you can tell it because there's no enthusiasm in the song. It's just like, you know, oh, little town of Bethlehem. Yeah, we'll be singing that one here pretty soon. How still we see the light. Oh, Christmas Carol. And then you're thinking about Amazon and, you know, your list. And right? Because it's that time of year. All right, so, and it just comes out hollow. And, you know, the sad thing is this. God knows that. Right? God knows that. And the other sad thing is we're okay with it. You know, because it's just like, okay, well, I wonder how many songs we're going to sing tonight. I wonder who's going to sing the special today. You know, is it going to be 3 songs or 4 songs? And it's just like, sometimes we can treat it just like this is what you do, and then the preacher's going to get up after he's made some announcements, and he's going to preach, and then we're going to go home. See, what changes that? What gives us a completely different attitude so that when we express our praise to God, it comes from a heart that's full of joy and full of enthusiasm? You know what it is? It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. When we have hearts that are filled with thanksgiving for God's goodness and for His greatness, we magnify God and we truly praise His name. We really do. It just changes everything. And, you know, as I said, God knows the difference. He knows where we're just mumbling through the words, trying to get the notes right, or whether we really are so thankful. Every one of us here has come in here sometimes so thankful. Maybe it's the, if I start thinking about things, you know, then you'll be like, well, you talked about what made her happy and you talked about what made him happy. You didn't talk about what I was thankful for. Okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to set myself up that way. Here's the deal. You come in here and you know God's done something for you and you are so thankful and you can't wait to tell everybody what God did and you want to praise God. You open that hymn book, man. You just can't wait till they hit that first note. Let's get singing. And every word jumps off that page. Out of a heart filled with joy, out of your mouth in true thanksgiving to God, and there is real praise in that. There's real praise in that. Thanksgiving is the key to sincerely, listen, magnifying God. And it's just like that little illustration I gave you about the problem and great big God. The more He's magnified in our lives, the better life is. You're just enjoying the eternal life you've been given way more when you can praise God from a heart of thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Colossians 4:2. I'll give you one more. Colossians 4:2. Paul giving these great instructions to us, and he says something about prayer. Something about prayer. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same. So watch in the same means this is going to be in extraordinary hours. You know, he says watch and pray. He's talking about sometimes things that you're going to have to pray about are going to keep you up late or get you up early, right, as you're watching and praying. So he said continue in prayer. And watch in the same, how? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So, what does prayer, what does thanksgiving do? Thanksgiving is the key to encouraging prayer to God. Prayer to God. Again, like so many other things, you may be here tonight and your prayer list may have been neglected this last week with all the reasons and excuses people can give, or in the week before. It may have gotten a little dust on it. And I'll tell you, what happens sometimes is this. It, like so many other things, like praising God and so forth, can become a little bit more habitual and routine. Well, I got to pray about this. I got to get this out of the way. And when prayer becomes nothing more than a habitual exercise, and you know, I thank God right now that sometimes prayer is a habitual exercise. I may not have prayed if it hadn't been for the habit. And I'll say sometimes to the Lord, I know this didn't come from the same kind of heart that I was praying, let's say, 2 days ago, but I at least wanted to get these prayers before your throne. But what keeps us continuing in prayer is that heart of thanksgiving, because you want to run to God and thank Him for what He's doing in your life. So prayer has to become more than just a habitual exercise. When you approach the Lord with thanksgiving, when you truly are thankful, your prayers are distinctly different. You ever notice that? When you're uplifted in your heart, God has answered a prayer. You just can't wait to get back and start bringing more prayer requests to Him because you want Him to answer another prayer so that you can thank Him again. I read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, when the saints are taking up offerings for the poor saints back in Jerusalem, and the saints are receiving the offerings in Jerusalem, and Paul and them are picking up these offerings and carrying them around, and the people are giving because they're God loveth a cheerful giver. This exercise is redounding, the Bible says, to the glory of God. One fellow, and I don't know if it's true of the definition of redound or not, but he said, to rebound is to throw something up against the wall and have it bounce back to you, for instance. All right, but it doesn't come back to you with the same energy that it hit the wall, right? If you threw it from where I'm standing here and hit that wall, I could not keep my hand right here and catch it. I'm going to have to change it because it's coming back with a little less force. When the many thanksgivings redound to the glory of God in your Bible, what the preacher said is, it's like the thanksgiving goes to God, but it comes back with more force than it was sent. And when it gets you, it goes back to Him with more force than the first time you sent it. And instead of it losing energy, it builds energy. And it redounds to many thanksgivings unto God. In other words, the more thankful you are and the more often you're thankful in prayer, the more likely you're going to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. And God's going to be glorified. Prayers with thanksgiving, I've noticed in my life and in others when we've had the opportunity to pray together, they're more fervent, they're more earnest, and they're more effectual. They're you're praying, listen, when you're thankful to God and you recognize all the things He's done for you, you're praying with the anticipation that He's going to answer that prayer. And I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, we have these cards of waywards and lost children in our families that we've been praying for, but we're seeing change in some people's lives. We're seeing God doing some things. And when you see even a little bit of movement as a result of that prayer, we ought to come with great force of thanksgiving to God. The reason being that it gives us more anticipation that God's really going to do something. And I was talking to somebody about that very thing concerning a child for whom we've been praying. And I'm telling you, the time that has elapsed from when we started praying and needed to pray till now is a long, long time. And I was expressing this to a friend of mine, and here's what he said. You know something? Those prayers are reaching the throne of grace. Those prayers are reaching the throne of grace. And God is going to do something in time. And I'm looking around at some faces of heads that are nodding, and I know that you know because you've seen it in your own lives, in your own families, that God performed miraculous work. It's thanksgiving that keeps you going back to a God of great power, a God of wonderful works, with the anticipation that one of these days you'll be shouting and hollering just like the prodigal son's father did, because God's going to turn that thing around. It's thanksgiving that does it. It's thanksgiving that gives continuance and offers these prayers fervently and earnestly and effectually. So if you've grown cold in any one of these areas of your life, in your the sense of being in the presence of God, experiencing the peace of God, exalting the power of God, expressing the praise of God or coming to God effectually with that encouragement to pray to God. Check your Thanksgiving barometer. You might have found that what happened is that needle dropped down kind of low. And what you want to do starting this evening is you want to bring that thing back up there. You got a lot of things you want to be thanking God for, and you'll find those other five areas of your life, if one of them has grown cold, they're all going to be humming. You're going to be tuned up like an engine that's just been worked on by a good mechanic, and it won't be mundane anymore. No, it'll change your life to come in with Thanksgiving. It's the season that we've just celebrated, but it was a lot more than family gatherings and turkey and cranberry sauce. It was about our great God. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for giving us some instruction out of the words of God and Thanksgiving. We are truly encouraged tonight, and we do lift our voices to you in praise. We do have so much to be thankful for, and help us tonight, Lord. When we leave this place and get to our homes and get on our knees beside our beds before we go to sleep tonight, to rejoice in all the many wonderful works that we've seen you do, the great power that you've demonstrated in our own lives, the many answers to prayer that you've given us, and all these things really that you truly deserve to be praised for. Help us to lift our hearts in that praise. And when we do, Father, help that then to carry over till tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, and on through, Lord, as your people grow closer, and that we may publish with the voice of thanksgiving the wonderful works of God when we're around other people that don't know you, so they'll recognize we're not talking about somebody that we don't know. We are rejoicing in things of a God we do know and that we want them to know. And we ask you to do all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.